live. And we're not hiding anything. Mash is here. Look at this.
Hello, Gareth.
Mashan, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How
are
you?
Nice to see you, dude. Yeah. There'll be a lot of people in the comments will be happy to see you, your return.
Yes.
Mash, of course, used to tell us the most incredible stories about, like, moving house, tenants that wouldn't leave, his sexcapades, his relationships, all of this stuff.
Yeah.
You haven't calmed down.
I have calmed down a bit. I've calmed down a bit. I've lost a bit of weight as well.
You're looking good.
Thank you.
Very good.
It's been staying off carbs, staying off sugar, basically living a very horrible life. But while at it, I look amazing, so I feel amazing.
Yeah, you know what? You have to weigh it up, hey?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you go, do I want to look good or do I want to eat nice food? Because a lot of people who are very healthy will say, oh, no, the food's wonderful. It is, but doesn't taste of much.
Yeah, it doesn't. It tastes like
absolute
garbage.
You know, no spices, no sugars, no any of that stuff.
Not even allowed to eat salt. I couldn't.
Mm-hmm. No.
I couldn't.
And I don't understand, like, salt. I don't know why that people have a problem with that. You need it. There's a certain amount of salt you need.
Certainly.
Oh.
Yeah, your bladder's salt.
People must take everything that's good away from us.
Yeah.
All right. So Arbot wants to know, do you still have the white underwear parties or is that P. Diddy that has those?
No, that is P. Diddy. I have black underwear parties.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, or no underwear parties.
Or no underwear parties. Good morning. Everybody's hopping in the comments here this morning. Someone says, Mash, Arbot. It's and JP. They're all very excited to have you back.
Nice. Oh, I'm excited too.
Nice. All right. it's Mash. I thought Gareth got a new black, says Mo Rabbit. Yes. People are just unbelievable. Can someone please tell James to close his mother's freezer? It's cuck cold outside. All right. So James actually came in here this morning. He said to me, oh, I've got a big announcement. But then he said, I'm not going to make it in the first hour. I'll do it in the second hour. Do you want it? Of course, I'm keen. Let's do it now.
James,
and he's built this thing up. It's going to be disappointing. It's going to be anticlimactic because he's built it up to be a big thing and it isn't. All right, James, let's hear. What's your big announcement? He's got his phone in hand and everything.
So a couple of weeks ago, we entered into the Grammys for Blind Herstory.
Yes.
Mash, we redid some of Blind Herstory's stuff.
Okay.
A little bit of rebranding.
Yeah.
Let me just explain, like Blind History, but we put a girl spin on it because we... In Blind History, we did a couple episodes on like famous female rulers and women who changed the world and, you know, people like Hedy Lamarr and the first Empress of China and all that kind of thing. Mm. Tell me the good news. I can kind of guess it now.
You probably could.
We got a Grammy nomination?
We kind of did. So through the first round of Grammy nominations, which essentially decides all of the nominations for the Grammys. And then they have another round, which decides the winners. So we're kind of Grammy nominated. Yeah.
We've got a Grammy-nominated podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I love that. Yeah. That's good. That's a big announcement.
Really awesome. Yeah.
That's not anticlimactic at all. How fantastic. Look at this.
Yeah. So that was from J9 this morning.
That's J9, who is she's on the Academy, by the way. She's very important.
Wow.
Well, yeah. This was juked by Eddie.
So how cool is that? Yeah. We may just, I mean, I'm not saying we're going to win, but it would be nice.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Really cool to be.
So congratulations also on that front then to my co-host of Blind History, which is none other than the great Anthony Medderer. And I'm sure that we will have more good news coming. That's excellent.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Very nice. Someone said here, Snipes, he's getting married. No.
No. I need to find someone to like
Bitcoin Boot says, you washed your car.
Almost. I washed the outside.
What do you mean almost?
I washed the outside, then it got cold, and now it's dirty again.
Oh.
Oh, your car was washed. I thought it was washed.
You should have seen how dirty that... Look at that car.
Gosh.
Yo.
How bad, Mash?
Is it brown or gray? I can't even tell anymore.
It's gray.
It's brown.
Oh, apparently it's gray.
No, it's brown and gray.
Okay, that was it.
Very good. That's big. That's big. Ooh. I'm pleased you brought that to us this morning, and that just came in now.
It did.
Very nice. All right. I like it. All right. So let's get to you for a second. Mm-hmm. You've been healthy. You've been happy. You've been good.
Yes.
Are you working hard?
I'm working hard. I'm very single.
Good. Single?
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
I wanted to see Simpure this morning because I was expecting and I told you so from her and from Lebang as well, of course. But I'm sure it is coming. It is on its way.
What? I told you so.
Yeah, that I told you so.
You know, there's always someone in the office who says, I don't see this working when someone gets into a relationship.
Yeah.
And it's so cruel because how do they know? What do they know? They think they were Nostradamus or something?
Hey, hey. They always told me that like things are moving too fast and, you know, you guys are rushing things. And how can he put you on his life insurance policy after 2 months of dating? And at the time, I was like, well, it's love. I mean, you've heard all these stories.
Are you back on your own life insurance?
I am. Yeah. Back on my own life insurance. I'm back on my own medical aid. Everything's back to just me on my own, you know, and it's been great. It's been really, really good. You just realize every now and then that some things were just not meant to be and just not compatible with someone.
No, well, don't beat yourself up about it. Also, how old are you? I mean, you don't have to worry about getting into something super serious.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I don't think there is an age actually for super serious. If you feel like you want to be single, you be single. This is 2024. The rules are different.
Yeah. Times have changed and it's okay to even meet someone at a club and start dating the following week. There's nothing wrong with that.
Of course. Yeah. And unless they're a psychopath and they're going to knife you in the in the bedroom a week later, that wouldn't be so good.
Yeah. Unless you're with Jeffrey Dahmer, I guess it's different.
Well, Max Sony says someone is growing up.
Certainly.
That's you. Yep.
Yeah.
The couch thing. What if you bump your MacBook Pro and use tiny tables, says Snipes. All right, Snipes, you are our interior decor specialist now. We may just do that, actually. I don't know. We're trying a bunch of different stuff. I mean, it looks really nice, don't you think?
It looks stunning.
Yeah, it looks good. Nice little look and feel here. All right, so Tabo says, if you're the one getting dumped, you should definitely feel shitty about yourself because you are the problem.
How am I the problem? Who has that? Snipes. Everyone has Snipes. Look. Most relationships, okay, I can actually give you guys some insight a little bit. Let me take it from the top. So,
all right, here we go.
In any relationship, you have to build a foundation of friendship. Mm-hmm. So, I think my issue was we just got into this and we never built that foundation. And because also, partially because our age gap, I mean, I was 26, dating someone who's about 40. So, our age gap as well didn't allow us to really connect on many things. Like, for example, I mean, I'm playing Fortnite on a Tuesday evening.
Oh, is that what you do now?
Yeah, that's what I do nowadays. Okay. And so I'm with someone who doesn't have the same interests as me. And we never established that base of friendship. Meaning that once that love lives here stage, once that honeymoon phase ended, after about a year.
You didn't have anything to do.
We didn't have anything to do. We also realized that we had nothing in common. Because what I want to do, you don't want to do. And what you want to do, I don't want to do. Like, I mean, one of his hobbies was donating blood. I'm like, yeah, I'm all about donating blood.
That was
blood.
A hobby?
That was a hobby. Like every Saturday.
Blood. What a boring, horrible hobby.
Donating blood. We're donating platelets every like 2 weeks. And
I mean, he's a good person for doing that.
Definitely a good person. But
I wouldn't.
Yeah, I'd rather, you know.
Keep my blood, thank you.
Exactly.
Who knows when I need it.
Yeah. So we're just not compatible. And there's nothing wrong with that. None of us are bad. I just took one of us to realize that and just bring it up and say, look, this is not working for the both of us. Simple.
Yeah, I think that's very mature and sensible.
Yeah. Yeah. But also in my family, a lot has been happening. I mean, there's been marriages. There's been so many things going on.
Your dad's still in prisons?
Well, he's not in prisons.
But... No, not in prison, but he was in the prison business.
Yes.
He was running a prison.
He's still running the prison. And
was he, now that his boss is now Wimpit from the Vryheidsfront
Yes,
Plus.
I saw.
Huh? Has he had anything to say about that?
My dad hasn't had much to say. Also, my parents have been super busy. They've just moved house. They just got a new
house.
Where
are they now?
Still in Klagsdorp, literally like, I think 500 meters away from their old house.
This is a big deal.
For them, it was.
Were they downscaling or upscaled?
Oh, they definitely upscaled.
Oh, really?
They definitely upscaled. The house is beautiful.
Huh?
Yeah, has a huge garden and everything. I'm just a bit disappointed it's still in Klagsdorp.
Yeah, well, I mean.
But I mean, what can you do?
You know what they say about property, right? Location, location, location. That's
certainly. Yeah, yeah. And yeah, apart from that, I mean, my dad, I was actually speaking to him the other day as well. It was about my uncle. And actually, let me tell you about this right off the bat. So, we had a wedding at home.
Stories. Okay, go.
Back at home. And at home, I mean, Kwakwa in the Free State. So when you have weddings, family functions, any kind of family gathering, the family gathers in Kwakwa.
Right.
That's my grandmother's house. It's not my dad's house, but it's like the family home.
Sure.
And of course, with any family home, you always have an uncle or aunt who lives there. Mm. It's usually an unemployed uncle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Useless. Yeah,
you know, yeah. Yeah. Well, they make themselves useful.
Let's be honest. These are the ones who turn up at funerals, tell everyone what to do.
Yeah.
And then make sure they get paid a certain amount of
certainly,
money.
Certainly, yeah. And they want so much food all the time. All they want is, yeah. It's like their life just revolves around
so you got one of those uncles.
I have one of those uncles. But yeah. So this uncle of mine actually moved out of the family home, moved to Bloemfontein, got a job. I know it's something to do with his hands. I'm not sure what exactly it is. But he recently got engaged.
Oh.
He got engaged and... earlier this year, like February, the whole family went down to the Free State to Qwaqwa to go and celebrate his marriage because he had a traditional wedding plan.
Okay.
So we all go down to Qwaqwa and we're all excited. When I say we all, I mean we all, not just like the immediate family.
Yeah,
like
sure. Because you thought he was going to be a burden on everyone forever.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sure. My cousin who's in parliament even flew up. Everybody just came. Okay. Everybody came in the family. And then we get there.
All the Sifutis.
All the Sifutis. Yeah. And and the Chachaus. That's my mother's surname.
All right.
Yeah. So we all came through and we get there and we're ready to celebrate. The wife comes, or rather, let's say the fiance at the time, along with her family. So there's many rituals. Like, for example, there's something called Uhlabisa.
Uh-huh.
What you do usually at the or after the traditional ceremony, which is when both the families slaughter something together.
Yes.
And then we eat together. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like our first meal together, basically. So, yeah. So it was time for Hlabisa at this point. And her family comes, the bride's family, they already slaughtered the goat. And sheep. And then they came with the half of the sheep over. Now they arrive and like she's sitting on the carpet and everybody's here. And keep in mind that it was kind of a hot day and we're Sotho people. So we wear blankets.
So it's boiling.
It is boiling. We're just boiling our tits off the whole day. And there we are waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting.
Yeah.
And the day eventually ended. We couldn't get a hold of my uncle.
Where was he?
To this day, we don't know.
How?
First of all.
Has he disappeared?
He completely vanished. When I say vanished, I mean, not that we couldn't get a hold of him on the day.
But you're there for his wedding.
Yeah.
And he just...
Yeah, he just never pitched. He just never pitched.
Oh,
that asshole.
Anyway, what do you think happened? I mean, is he all right?
Oh, he's okay.
Oh, he's alive?
Yeah, he's okay. Yeah, he's just...
He wasn't kidnapped or any of that shit?
No.
He just didn't want to do the wedding.
He's just suffering from buffoonery because now...
Wow, what an irresponsible human being.
Yeah. And then to top things off, when he finally does actually get into... Because my dad's the oldest sibling. So everybody has to basically answer to him.
Yes.
When he finally does get back to my dad... It is a month later.
Everybody's gone all that way for nothing.
Basically, yes.
Hmm.
Everybody went all that way. He didn't pitch, didn't answer his phone for a month, Gareth.
What was he, drunk?
I don't know. But eventually he calls my dad and my dad calls me to tell me what he said. Now, this uncle I'm not really close with because he only ever called me when he needed money for airtime, whatever. So...
A drunkle.
Yeah, okay, it's a drunkle. And now, I hope he sees this. Oh, good Lord, I hope he sees this.
Anyway. All right, good. Yes, good. Yes.
Yeah, so then after this, he calls my dad and he apologizes. And actually, no, he wasn't apologizing. He was calling my dad because my dad... In about a few years' time, he's going to get access to his pension. Mm. But now we have two pots, so you can like kind of access it anytime.
Yeah.
But he called my dad to borrow 30 grand.
Oh, my God.
To buy furniture. He was like, yeah, you know, I have a wife now, so I need to buy furniture. And my dad is like, Hemun, we were in Qwaqwa for your wedding a month ago. You didn't pitch. You didn't answer any of our calls for a whole month.
Mm-hmm.
And you come here and tell us that. And now you're telling me that you need 30 grand. And you're going to pay me back. So you couldn't pitch to your own wedding. How the hell are you going to pay me back? How are you going to pay me back?
No, you see, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
And this is where, I'm never one to tell other people what to do. But, this is where you should just say no to the black tax.
Hey, you
just
can't.
Say no. You have to.
You have to
say no to this guy.
Yeah.
This guy is a derelict. He will. That money, technically, it should go to you before it goes to him.
Certainly.
Huh?
It should go to me. I deserve
Unreal.
It. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Bitcoin Butch says he went to go and get some milk.
And this poor woman is not running, unfortunately. She's like, I love him. He's my man. She's my man. She's me a year ago.
She's stuck. She's stuck.
She's stuck.
So what did your dad say? No.
So my dad obviously said no.
Good.
And he also told him that, dude, do you think we're stupid in this family? Everybody dropped their lives for a whole weekend. We all dropped our lives. I had to cancel events that I had to attend. I had to cancel dates that I had planned.
Oh,
so many things,
man,
had to be moved around so that we could all accommodate you. Your cousin was in parliament, had to freaking drop things to come here as well. And what do? You just don't pitch.
Unbelievable. Like, you talk about black sheeps in the family.
Yeah.
This guy is obviously a terrible black sheep.
Certain. He's a freaking cockroach. Yeah. Yeah. Forwarded to him, mom. Yeah.
No, but I mean, listen. It's not unusual in a family to have one person who's just such a letdown.
It is.
To everybody. I mean, I just can't imagine a guy not even pitching for his own wedding.
Can you imagine?
How irresponsible is this person?
Yeah.
And then he wants money.
And
they
he wants
always,
money on
they
top of that.
Always want money, huh?
That's the thing. If it's not airtime, it's actual money. And my thing is, I'm going to sound very insensitive, but what are you doing all your life? What are you doing all your life? That's what I want to ask this uncle of mine and uncles like these. If you have uncles similar to my uncle, you should ask them, what were you doing with your life? Why don't you have airtime?
Yeah.
Simple.
Well, Matthew says, yeah, nah, Free State people problems. We all have that.
Is that what it's called? Free State people problems.
Free State people problems. I'm blown away. That's so horrible.
Oh,
so listen, a couple of things that are going on in the news. I don't know if anybody was awake late last night, but Iran has been like rocketing the hell out of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's happening while you were sleeping.
Yo.
And yeah, I mean, it's like this is proper. Well, this is what they told us would happen, right?
Yes.
Iran versus Israel. So now we wait, we breathe, and then Israel will obviously counter-strike. So this is now going to make the whole of the Middle East a total disaster. I don't know whether you can get a flight through there at the moment. I don't know whether any of the airlines would want to go through. I just flew back from Bulgaria via Doha. And on the way from Bulgaria to Doha, you fly through Iraq.
Oh.
Now, yeah, I don't know if you'd want to do that while there are missiles going between Iran and Israel. I wouldn't want to. So it's something to think about. Huh?
And then is the Iron Dome still active?
Iron Dome's working, but I mean, some of these, occasionally one or two will get through. And
then
obviously people will die or there will be huge devastation. There'll be destruction on the other side.
Oh, my
so word. We have to see what happens. But this is what is... taking place as we speak. I just have to say, like, the most surgical, tactically brilliant campaign that Israel undertook against Hezbollah, taking out this Nasrallah and everybody else. I honestly don't think in the history of modern warfare there's ever been something so pinpoint accurate.
Yes.
I mean, this guy was like, I don't know, taking a shit in a bunker 60 feet underground.
What?
And they went, boom. And all of this while Netanyahu was standing at the UN talking. He's like, while I'm talking, this is happening back home. I mean, that's just, would you want a leader who was looking after you like that? Yes.
Certainly.
Would you want to be enemies of someone like that? Hell no.
Yo, that is
quite
crazy.
Something, huh? Yeah.
Yo.
I don't know. They seem to always get these guys when they're on the toilet. Or maybe that's just a terrible rumor.
My biggest thing is just living life with rockets flying
up above. Horrible.
And I used to think like, no, it can't be like that. Life can't actually be like that. That's sad. Until Greg, who used to work with us, actually came in and showed us videos. He's like, yeah, this is from my balcony.
Yeah.
It's just a rocket flying over in the Iron Dome, deflecting it, basically. And I was like, okay, so this is just life for you. This is normal now.
Yeah, it's like... it looks like the fireworks shows that, you know, they have in Tonga to Diwali.
Certainly.
But it's way more dangerous. So, yeah, it's unbelievable that people live like this.
Sure.
And another bit of news, the GNU, the Government of National Unity, is 100 days old, if anybody gives a shit, showing both successes and growing pains. Analysts and industry experts have described the tenure as broadly positive, with improvements in the relationship between business and government leading to stronger financial markets. So that's positive. Concerns about the sustainability of the coalition have been raised, but they said this in day one. You know, they're those people who say, like Simpiwe said about you, definitely going to break up, definitely going to break up. And then they always go, well, I told you so when it happens. But everyone eventually breaks up. Either one of you die or you break up.
Yeah.
That's the nature of relationships. How else do you think it's going to work? Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So when the GNU does eventually fall apart, you know, have all these people going, I knew it was going to fall apart from the start. But they're the same kind of people that go into any relationship full of like trepidation. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to commit to anything.
Yeah.
They'll never be happy because they never actually take on an adventure.
Yeah. Similar to any relationship, you have to be compatible. And of course, for example, DA and ANC are not compatible.
No.
Their policies, they're just simply not compatible. DA is against BEE. ANC is for BEE.
And they don't trust each other.
They don't trust each other. Yeah. Simple as that. So, of course, let's not hope it falls apart. But let's give them a shot and let them ride it out. And if it does fall apart, let it be amicably.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't see any. I see this thing as not going amicably from here on. All right, there are a couple of stories, and I wanted to get to some of these. So while we're talking about politics, here's a lovely picture of Herman Mashaba, who now is cross. So poor Herman, he can't seem to figure anything out. Like, he leaves the Tshwane mayor on the street, right? Celia Brink from the DA.
Yeah.
But then he thinks he'll get the DA. He'll be able to pick the DA mayor. But dude, you have like a party with, I don't know, 0.00% of the national vote.
Mm.
You don't get to make any terms. Nobody cares what you think.
Yeah.
So he doesn't get to choose.
Good.
So Herman Mashaba is very upset now. Now he's cross with the ANC as well. So he's like having a temper tantrum. First his temper tantrum was with the DA. Now his temper tantrum's with the ANC.
Yeah.
Eventually, people will realize this is not a serious person, I think.
Yeah.
They're already getting there.
Haibo. So now who's in line to be the next mayor of Tshwane?
Who fucking knows? Who knows?
Yo.
Anyway, I don't understand. But look at the state of schools in South Africa. So this is I don't know where this clip comes from. Maybe someone will fact check me if it's not a South African school, but I think it is. There's a teacher here who's completely lost control of her class. And the kids in this class are definitely delinquents. There's no other way to put it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I had some pretty wild people at school with me. People who are not there to learn. Let's just put it that way. But nothing like this. Watch this. Now, I've never felt sorry for teachers. But after watching this, I did feel sorry for a teacher. We don't have to play the whole thing. Just play a little bit. I mean, what the hell? Check. It's pandemonium.
What school is this?
Angaz. But those kids, honestly, those kids, they must just all be put into a gang, chained by the ankle, and be made to dig holes. They're never going to be employable kids. They're never going to be adults that will add any value to society, right? And I mean, I don't know who that teacher is. First of all, yes, teacher has a responsibility to maintain control of the class, but it looks like she's dealing with extremely broken people.
Certainly.
Like, these are kids. They're not big.
Yeah.
They're like, what, 9, 10 years old, maybe?
They look like they're maybe 13. They look maybe grade 8 or 9.
They should just arrest a lot of them, put them in a chain gang for life. They must dig, they must fill potholes.
Yeah.
They must, you know, make repair roads.
Yeah.
They must fucking
I heard they need more miners.
Concrete.
Yeah, they need more miners in Congo. So
send them into the mines. That's a good idea.
But a part of me wants to defend the kids a little bit because
how?
To a certain extent, not fully, Because I used to be in high school myself.
Like that?
Not that extreme. Not that extreme. Yes, I was a bit of a problem, but not to that extent. I remember one of the times a teacher, actually our history teacher, actually grabbed my head and started banging me on the table because I was being a bit disruptive in class. And we used to have many incidents like that. I remember one time a girl literally ran across the classroom, and that caused pandemonium within the classroom. Everybody went crazy simply because she saw a spider on her desk. Now, you ask anyone else in the class who was going crazy after her, why are you going crazy? What's going on?
I don't know.
We don't know. We don't know.
So it's like it's an addictive thing, or it's a mob mentality.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But that is a kid thing, and mob mentality is definitely more present when you're young.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it. That's why you've got these, not Scotanis. What are these kids called to get together? Latweezies.
Oh, Latweezies.
Those
yes.
ones.
Oh,
get together in the malls, yeah. Just a huge group of people.
Ugh.
They don't know why they're there. They don't have a plan. I'm sorry. We got to just, these kids.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. Like lethal injections.
No, we need some discipline.
No, lethal injections, I'm saying.
Ah.
Across the board.
I get it.
There's nothing you can do for these kids. That is a kind of hardware damage. It's not a software damage. There's no amount of education that's going to fix those kids. There's like the motherboard is fucked.
Yeah.
You know?
Certainly.
You know, in a machine, when you take a machine to someone, you say, this thing's fucked.
Yes.
You don't go, I don't know, there might have been some water damage, or can you fix this? Or, when you take it to the counter and you go, this one, she's fucked. You know what I mean?
Certainly, yeah. Yeah.
So that's what we've got there.
Just strip it off its gold and get rid of it.
Let's just strip out the gold. I don't know. Kids today are way too spoiled, says Vyasin. Kids can be naughty but not rude.
Mm.
Defend the kids. What is wrong with you, says Just Plain Jared. Those kids will end up like the mob that escorted Brink out of the Tshwane Parliament. As Pumlani Majosi keeps referring, we have a fatherless home issue in South Africa. Behavior starts at home, not at school. Strong kids are built at home, not at school.
Mm.
Yeah, I guarantee you the parents of those kids are just not in their lives. They're just not involved.
Sure.
No, they can't be. I mean, like if I behaved like that, not
you expect
only
consequences.
I would expect consequences for me at school.
Yeah.
But I would also know I was going to get beaten at home.
Certainly.
Right?
Yeah. Going to get your ass whooped when you get home.
Right.
Whooped.
Right. So mm-hmm. I saw that and I thought, wow, I give teachers a hard time, but man, I wouldn't want to be that teacher. Yeah. And by the way, those kinds of kids are unemployable. But look at the quality, and I want your opinion on this, Mash.
Okay.
The quality of kids who are in employment now, mm-hmm. these Gen Zs and millennials.
Mm.
Just watch this video. This is obviously, it's not made up. This is not acted.
Yeah.
There's an actual HR person. There are two women who work in HR in different industries.
Okay.
And they made this video, which went on TikTok. But take a look at what kind of things they have to deal with from young people in the employment of a company in 2024. Just listen to these excuses.
Hey, I have to make this really quick. I'm not coming in today. I'm having a digital detox day.
I need that shit off.
Next week, we are quite busy.
Well, my friend offered me a trip to Florida.
Okay, that's cool, but you are scheduled all week.
But this is a once-in-a-lifetime chance. We're going to see NASCAR.
Hey, Sage, what's up?
The elevator is broken, Jamie.
At the office?
Yeah.
Okay, are you carrying something?
No.
Okay, are you hurt?
No.
Okay, well, we're just on the second floor, Sage. It's like 18 steps. Hey, Michaela, what's up?
Hey, this is Michaela's boyfriend.
What's up? Is everything okay?
Yeah. Michaela can't come in today, though.
What's up? What's going on?
It's my birthday.
It's your birthday. Is Michaela there? Can I talk to her, please?
Yeah, she said no.
Hey, how's it going?
Not good at all.
Oh, what's wrong, girl? You sound upset.
I went into the Starbucks drive-thru, and I was already a little bit in a rush, and I just wanted to get my caramel ice white mocha with vanilla sweet cream cold foam and lactose milk, and they messed my order up. Oh. So I'm not coming in today.
those are reasons not to go to work.
Yeah. Now, you know what this makes me want to do?
What?
Only hire old people. I only want to hire like the oldest people I can find. 50 plus. Because, and I know you work with a lot of old people.
Yes.
But I'll tell you something, like, they would never, can you imagine the lift at work is broken and you can't go up two floors because, no, this means I must go home.
Yeah, it means.
And what was the other one? It's a boyfriend's birthday. So she gets
the boyfriend calls.
The boyfriend calls, and then the HR woman says, "Can I speak to Michaela?" And she's like, and the boyfriend goes, "No." She said, "No." Like, these people also need an ass whooping.
And also, you can't go to work because Starbucks messed up your order.
No, no.
How low is the bar nowadays for
this? Is real. This is real, Mash. I'm telling you.
And
I'm not just showing. I know this audience of ours, they get very upset very easily.
Mm.
I know people are willing to get cross early on a Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
But this makes me furious. When I saw this video yesterday, I was like, what the hell?
Yo, it's so disappointing considering that.
Your generation.
There are young people who are working hard out there, Gareth. We are working hard. I'm working hard. James is working hard. We're all working extremely hard. And I can give you a good example of this because, I mean, I myself actually, like, I technically got myself multiple promotions at work. And it's all
thanks.
How
did you do that?
It's all thanks to ChatGPT. ChatGPT got me promotions.
Is this because
work.
The old people you work with don't know what ChatGPT is? So Mash is using ChatGPT and the old people that work with him are like, it's amazing. Mash, he knows everything and he's so quick. And you ask him to reply to an email and within seconds he has like five paragraphs. It's amazing.
So they took me on as digital marketing manager. I now do internal comms as well.
Wow.
Simply because my emails, people literally come to my desk and go like, yo, your email, yo, it's so professional. Wow. I'm like, okay, thanks. Yeah. Meanwhile, I just typed up something. I'm like, tell these idiots that I need to get this shit done, blah, blah, blah. Make it sound professional.
And ChatGPT gives you an answer.
ChatGPT goes like, here you go. That. Good day, all.
Well, I mean, Janine, who works with us here, will know all about this. Lol, what happened to the dog ate my homework? Huh?
Hey.
Yeah, that's true. I can't come to work today. My hair isn't a vibe. I've heard that before. I've actually heard that when my hair isn't a vibe, I'm not coming to work today.
Aibo, you've heard it from who, Kerev?
I promise you, there's someone I know. And she works at a big company here in Sandton.
Ah.
One of the girls that work with her, millennial.
Yes.
Gen Z, something like that.
Mm.
She's like, I can't come to work today. My hair isn't a vibe.
What?
Promise you.
On earth.
No, they fired her eventually. Which
you
is
good.
Right. You must fire people like that.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Certainly. You know, I don't waste my leave days. For me, leave days are like a commodity. It's such a commodity.
Yes.
You know, you have to take care of them because they take care of you. Now, if you're misusing them and using them for gag reasons, the day you actually need them, what are you going to do?
Look at this. Morg says, team member was off for 6 weeks after emergency surgery. Came back and she'd had a boob job.
I think that's an investment. Smart team member, that one. Smart. Good.
Okay, job. I need to ask you a bit of advice here. So we're busy planning because the end of the year is almost upon us, right? Ooh. It's October already.
Mm-hmm.
Before you know it, it's going to be December.
Quick.
So how do you, said leave is really important to you. That's a gold mine. You've got to look after it.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you deal with December? Because we'll close for maybe a week. Now, you force people to take leave and that comes out of their leave?
Yeah.
Or do you let them have that week off and it doesn't come off their leave? How do you do it?
So in an organization, we take forced leave. In fact, I think most organizations do forced leave.
Right. So they say to you, sorry, if you don't want to take the leave there, you have to.
Yeah.
So those 5 days, like between Christmas and New Year, for example.
And obviously, people have to have the option to come to the office still. So if they do want to come in during that week, some people like working.
But imagine there's
Christmas.
Nothing going on.
Yeah.
People who go to the office, listen, I used to think, wow, those people are very dedicated. I think they're crooks. I'll tell you why. They know, and you know, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
The office is basically a ghost town. It's a ghost town.
It's dead.
No one there.
Yeah.
And all they do is they sit there and they use the office internet to, mm-hmm. I don't know, download movies,
yeah.
watch porn.
Yeah.
Who knows what they're doing, but mm-hmm. they're not doing work. So I don't know about this forced leave thing.
The thing is, forced leave does come in handy for a company because you don't, you also don't want people having too many leave days.
Yeah, if they bank like 3 months of
people leave. Bank them. I know people who haven't taken leave in 10 years.
Really?
They'll bank it and bank it and bank it and just keep banking it and let some days expire. And by the time they, at some point, the company has to tell a person, like, dude, you need to take your days.
All because, right. Yeah, I mean, I'm getting very hard answers here from this audience. Ooh. So Bitcoin Butt says, what liberal excuses did James give you? Well, we haven't asked James yet or told him or anything.
Yeah.
Huge Erection says, it comes off your leave, forced leave. If you don't like it, tough.
Yeah.
So that's the way it works.
That's how it works. That's how it's supposed to be, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah, it comes in handy, though. It really does.
Team, that's amazing. us older generation are the way to go. My son is in the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. This is a Pat that says this. And gets staff to work. No ways. Excuses. They're too damn spoilt these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pat.
Certainly. Most certainly. And I feel like once you start valuing your leave, you also start valuing your job. If you don't value your leave days, if you have so many that you have like freaking 60... You actually don't value
how
your
job. How much are you sitting on at the moment?
Oh, Gareth, chow batong. I just took a week because I'm taking my family to Sun City. My ex and I bought a timeshare together.
Oh, no. You're still dealing with timeshares that you bought together.
Yeah.
He's always going to be in your life.
For the next 10 years, yes.
Oh, my God.
So, so we have a trip planned. That's in November. So I'm taking 5 days because it's a week long. And then what else do I have? I took a day off last week. To attend Comic-Con.
How was that?
Oh, so much fun. So much fun. I was dressed as Deadpool.
Are you dressed up?
Yeah, I was dressed up. Yeah, I've been working out.
You got a picture of that?
Yeah, I have a picture of that.
Send it to James.
Let me send it to James quickly. Oh, okay. James is going to love this.
While Mash is doing that, I'm just looking at some of these comments here. People are furious about that video of the shitty millennial and Gen Z excuses for work. People are furious. So here's Kale. He said, we had our staff stage a walkout at one of our businesses on Saturday because one of our managers, they said they don't like how the manager tells them what to do. That's part of it? What you have to do as a manager.
Yeah.
Tell people what to do. Threatening that they won't come back until we remove him. I love it when like the people who work at a company decide they're going to tell the boss who started the company how to run it. It's like, no, you can start your own company and then we'll see how that goes.
Do things your way.
But don't tell other people how to run their business. It's none of your business, literally and figuratively.
Hey, huh? Yeah.
Okay, so tell me about Comic-Con.
Oh, Comic-Con was so much fun. So I went there because I was invited by KFC. And it was just so much fun. It was my first time ever. So actually, leading up to Comic-Con, I was not looking forward to it because I was like, oh, these cosplay people. I thought everybody there's like a proper nerd. You know those nerds from TV where like they have pimples and they wear round glasses and their glasses look like magnifying glasses. Each eye looks like it takes up like a whole damn lens.
Yes.
Those are the kind of people I was expecting before I went there. But as soon as I got there, I was like, damn, everybody's normal like me. Wow. And also people brought their kids because I think it was still during school holidays last week. So I got there. I was dressed up as Deadpool. I hired the costume. And I was a bit nervous when I got the costume because I thought to myself, oh, am I doing too much? Am I going to get there? And people are like, whoa, you're doing a bit too much.
No, but you, if you dress up, you've got to go full.
You have to go all in.
Okay, so there's nothing worse than at a dress up.
Yeah.
And where was it that I... Okay, so on this trip now to Bulgaria, we had the one day where we had to dress Peaky Blinders.
Yes.
So I went the full hog, right?
Oh, yes.
Hat, outfit, everything. The second thing was like a disco thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't have anything disco. So that... I just looked lame. What you have to do is you have to go all out or not at all.
Certainly.
There's no halfway.
Because if you go halfway... I met some of my friends there as well, ironically enough. It was on a Thursday... And I could have gotten them tickets as well, but I didn't because I was like, yeah, it's a Thursday. My friends all have jobs. They're all busy.
And they pitched up and
they're all there.
Oh, thanks for the tickets.
Yeah, I get a call and one of them is like, I just checked Find My and you're right here. We all track each other.
Oh, right.
And they're like, you're right here. Are you at Comic-Con? I'm like, yeah, I am.
Where did they do it?
Nazareth.
Okay.
Yeah, Joburg Expo Center. It was so much fun.
Everybody else dress up?
My friends dressed up, but not as well as I did. I mean, look at me.
Oh, wow. Mash, that's amazing.
Yeah, I went all out. All out.
God and damn.
I had the time of my life.
Look at that. That is fantastic.
Yeah, and the experience, the people are so friendly, by the way. And immediately after this event, I had to go to the Summer's nominations.
Yeah.
So literally, and they're actually at the same time.
You have a lot of events in your diary.
Sure, huh? It is a lot. But it was so much fun. The people were so friendly. The experiences were so immersive. And I just loved it. I absolutely loved it. I didn't expect to enjoy Comic-Con this much.
I learned a new word yesterday.
What word?
I must just look it up because I can't remember it. But there's this thing. It's not monging because I know what monging is. Is it mooging?
Mooging.
Something like that. Let me just look it up.
That sounds nasty.
Mogging. Mogging.
Oh, it sounds nasty.
Do you know what mogging is?
How do you mog someone?
So apparently mogging is where you have one guy who like asserts his dominance over another guy or a... You know, it's like in a social situation where the one proves that they're the alpha and the other one is the beta.
Yes.
So, for example, if you have one very strong guy and one very weak guy and they're posing a picture together, and the one is mugging the other one. So the one is the mugger, and the one is the muggy. Have you not heard this?
So the muggy is the one being outshined, basically.
Yes, basically the weakling.
Oh, okay.
If you dress up as Deadpool and then someone else does like a half-assed version of Deadpool and they sit next to you, you're basically mugging them.
Okay, so I was mugging people there.
You were, because you were dressed like beautifully and they didn't make as much effort. So I like that. Oh, I learned a new word.
Oh, mugging. Sounds like hugging, like hugging the spotlight. But
no, but it comes from all these like online and those pickup artist things that they have online. Someone sent it to me and I was like, what the fuck is mugging? I had to look it up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a new word.
Mugging.
Useful, right?
So, yeah, very useful. I'm going to use that.
Aaron says it's basically the bender and the sender, maybe.
Oh, the...
Please, I don't want to be crucified for this, but is this guest gay? Says Promise Okoroji. Yes, Promise.
I literally said my boyfriend in like the first 5 seconds of the show.
I love the way that's like, he's like, oh, I don't want to be in trouble for this, but...
It's so weird. You know, someone actually asked me, I made a new friend the other day. Actually, last week, I made a new friend at gym. And yeah, we exchanged numbers. And then he asked me, like, are you gay?
Are you a gay?
Are you a gay?
Why and are you gay?
Yeah.
Did he say that? Like that? Why are you gay?
I am not gay. Who said I'm gay?
You are gay. All right. So what did you say to him? You said to him, nah.
I said to him, yes. Uh-huh. And he also then apologized immediately afterwards to go like, I'm sorry, I don't know how like this goes. Like, I'm not really sure. You just ask.
I can't understand how there are people who are sensitive about this shit in 2024.
Yeah. My thing is just, why is it always a topic? You know? Like, we can just live life happily.
Well, Mo Rabbit says, gay is not really a thing, is it? Promise says, I'm a Nigerian in the US. I hope that helps explain it.
Yeah.
Okay, Promise. Don't worry about it. We're glad you're listening. Listen, the Nigerians in the U.S. are doing a damn fine job. Nigerians in the U.S. are one of the most successful demographics in that country. Mm-hmm. So if you're one of those, Promise, if you're shooting the lights out and doing extremely well, good for you. Sure. Is mugging the gay version of mocking? No, it isn't. It's got nothing to do with gay. But yeah, interesting. Deadpool suits you, Mash, says Goon.
Thank you.
Right, very nice.
I lost 37 kgs, by the way.
Well, that's the only way you could get, because that's a tight outfit, right?
Yep.
Very good. All right. Okay, excellent. Now, Mash has got a couple of things he wants to talk to us about this morning. First one is the fat influencers that are dying one by one. This comes into how he's lost weight.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've got into a lot of trouble over the years for saying that body positivity is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's killing people and it's making it okay for people to think that being morbidly obese is fine and you'll live a happy and well-adjusted life, that your heart will survive. It won't.
Nope.
You won't.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good.
Yeah.
And so all of these people, they think they're being compassionate. They think they're being kind. They think they're being inclusive. they are doing enormous damage, unforeseen consequences to all those fat people. So
yeah,
I know there was that one guy who was like, he used to eat stuff and do what is it called when they do
the mukbang?
Mukbang.
Yes.
He used to do that stuff and he's dead. There was a girl who was also famous on TikTok for body positivity and stuff.
Yeah.
She's dead.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these people are dead.
Yeah, I have a couple of their names right here. So Jamie Lopez, who starred in US reality show Super Size Salon, died from heart complications, aged 37, last December.
There we go.
Another one here is Brittany Sowers. TikTok page was, the final videos posted to Brittany Sowers' TikTok page make for upsetting viewing. Speaking tearfully to the camera, the 31-stone social media star, who often posted defiantly body-positive content about how hot she felt in certain outfits, admitted with shocking candor, that she had ruined her life with food and binge eating. And then the next one is well-known activist professor of fat studies, Dr. Kat Poussey.
Oh, that's a terrible name. Kat Poussey. Kat Poussey. That's Poussey Poussey. In... By the way, 31 stones for that other influencer, because I hate it when they use like British measurements for things.
Yeah.
It's 196 kilograms.
Yo.
That's almost 200 kgs. That's 0.2 tons.
That's more than a picanto.
That's 0.2 tons. That is more than a picanto, yeah.
Yo, people are heavy out here.
All right, so these ones are all dead. Who else is dead?
Yeah, Kat Poussey, who questioned links between...
Kat Poussey. How do you spell it? I got to look this woman up.
It's actually... I'm actually being dramatic. It's actually pause, but the E has a copy on it. There's a little copy on it. So it's Kat pause. But I'm just like, Poussey. It's just...
Okay. Listen, it is Poussey.
Yeah, Poussey.
I'm going to stand up for you on this one. It's Kat Poussey.
Yeah. So she questioned the links between weight and health.
She was born in 79. She died in 2022.
Yep. And she lost her life at the age of 42.
She was a lecturer at Massey University in New Zealand, Kat Poussey.
Mm-hmm.
So how embarrassing.
This just goes to show that this movement... Really? People are still sticking by this movement. And I'm saying this because my little brother as well is quite... overweight. He is about 160 kgs.
How old?
20.
Mm-mm.
20 years old at 160 kgs. He towers over me. He mugs me.
Yeah, he mugs you.
He mugs me.
See, we're using this word already.
Yeah.
But now what can you do, Mash? I mean, you care about your brother. You want to help him, but you can't also just go fatty, 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 boom, boom, like, you know,
yeah.
Oh, my Hercules, Hercules, Hercules.
Hercules, Hercules.
You can't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So what are you going
to
do?
So what I do is, first of all, I took him to gym with me. Whenever I'm back at home, my mother and I go to gym together. I go to gym about 4 days a week. So whenever we do go to gym together, I try to bring him along with me.
Does he want
to
go?
He doesn't. He doesn't. But I drag him along because I'm just trying to introduce him to an alternate lifestyle.
Does he like the body positivity thing? Is he into that? Does he believe that that creates an excuse for him?
Oh, he is definitely into that. And also... my little brother, I think he's transgender.
So he's body positivity and you think he might be transgender as well. Iyo bangani iyo.
Yeah. I mean,
so what are we going to do? I mean, like, you've got to accept this, or are you going to try and figure out whether there's a way for him to have less struggles in life?
That's the thing. That's the same thing I was telling my parents this past week as well, that... He can't have the world against him on every single front.
Oh my God.
Like, he has to pick which battle he wants to fight and stick to that one battle.
Wow.
You can't fight an obesity battle and a transphobia battle as well.
Jesus.
Just pick one battle and stick within that lane. And one thing you can change about yourself is your weight. You can go to gym. You can eat healthier. You can decide to start taking good care of yourself. These are all options. These are all choices. And I've learned this myself, that it's a choice. And if you don't take it, if you don't want to utilize that opportunity to lose the weight, then what can other people do? You can't just expect the world to accept
you. You're going
to
die like Kat Poussey.
You're going to die like Kat Poussey. Yeah.
160 kilograms, says Carl's, not a little bit overweight.
At the age of 20, by the way. And he's so tall, he towers over me. Whenever he gets in my car, my suspension lowers.
How much food does he eat?
the thing is, when he's like around us, the family, he eats the same amount of food as the rest of us.
But he's having midnight snacks.
It's at night when people are sleeping. Because I remember,
goes and rummages in the cupboards.
My mother once
went for pork rinds and crackling.
My mother was like, there was so much chicken bones. I think my mother told me, she's like, I found the bones of at least three chickens.
And but three bay. Fucking chickens. Three chickens.
And my mother was like, I don't
see
know.
Why we love having Mash as a guest. He doesn't mind who he upsets during the course of this discussion. There's going to be someone in the family who goes, I can't believe you said that. Mash is going to be like, you got to sort your shit out.
I mean, after this show, my surname is no longer Sifuti. That's
no,
for
you're
sure.
going to have to change it. So your mother has found the carcasses of three chickens.
Yep. So much bones. My mother was like, I had to.
It's
I
like
was
a
literally
cemetery.
Sweeping them into a checkers plastic bag. I was sweeping them into a checkers plastic bag from under the bed.
See, these fat people, they eat when we're not looking.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
My little brother eats and eats and eats when people are sleeping. And my mother.
You hear noises
the
coming from
aware
him.
Of it.
Hear noises when you go and visit there from his bedroom of like. Yeah.
That's all. That's
cakes
all you're hearing.
Sweets and chucks and ice cream and chickens and
exactly.
My
beef
mother and
actually said, my mom said we're gonna install burglar proofing in the kitchen.
Oh my god!
So just for the kitchen, so you can't access the kitchen because it's burglar proofed from the rest of the house.
Wow,
that's what she wants to do now.
But I'm just thinking about the amount of work because he has to cook those chickens, or they're already cooked.
It's already cooked. It's cooked.
Oh, you see.
So what happened was. It's not like he just killed chickens and cooked them in the night.
Okay, so explain how it happens.
So it happened.
I've always been fascinated by the secret eating of fat people. This is a world I'm... Go on. We've got all day. Mash, we could take as long as you want.
So he's been stealing chicken from the pot in the kitchen over a period of time. My mother cleans, she cleans once a week.
Yeah.
So it means that during the week... He's been stealing chicken from the pot.
And she only realizes at the end of the week.
Yeah, end of the week. And the thing is, my family eats a lot of chicken. Okay. A lot of
chicken.
There's
always chicken in the pot.
There's always chicken in the pot.
And this fucker is going in there and eating it.
He's been stealing chicken. And keep in mind, to feed a family of about four people.
There he is.
That's my little brother.
Well, I don't know what your problem is. I only want to eat one chicken, but I can't help it. By the time I get to chicken number two and number three, I don't even feel full.
And if he transitions to a woman, he'll be like that lady from Norbit. He'll be like that lady from Norbit. What's her name again?
Yeah.
Verusha? Respucia.
Mm.
Respucia. Yeah.
Respucia. Yes.
So that's how it happens. He's been stealing chicken. Eats it, then puts the bones under the bed, and they pile up.
Oh my god! So Tabo says he should have gone to Comic Con with you as the Hulk. You should put the chicken in the family safe, says Viasen. Donna says it's eating snacks in between the wrong food plus not exercising. Input energy is more than output. Well, this sounds like a lot of input.
Mm.
You ask me. Oh, Liz Rasputia. Oh my God. First law of thermodynamics. Just burn what you chow and you won't get fat. Yes,
certainly.
Patrick, that's correct.
Mm.
Well, I mean, listen, Mash is in immaculate shape at the moment. You saw him in that Deadpool outfit.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe we shouldn't encourage people to be more healthy. Too many people in the world as it is. This way we can thin the herd. Hugh, that's fine until it's someone you love and care about.
Exactly.
Trust Mash to come on the show with the most bizarre stories. It's true, Snae. This is his family.
Yeah.
Mash is one of the few people who is willing to say what's happening, which is why we love having him on the show, even if it upsets a person or two. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I appreciate that, Mash. I want you to know.
Certainly.
He will transition into a dump truck, says Bidonput. Almost every second or third week, someone is borrowing money from me. Oh, Mapelo. Mapelo's got a big problem here. Someone's borrowing money from me, even people I haven't spoken to for years. What is that about? Some never mention that money again, since I won't even ask. Stop lending people money.
Duh.
You are not a good person if you are helping bad people with bad habits.
Certainly.
You know, like, this is a thing. I understand, okay? I really do understand that the black tax is a real thing. Because I'm just going to take it that this is some kind of black tax that Mapelo's being leveraged on. Because he wouldn't give money to strangers.
Yeah.
So it's probably family first or friends. Mm. Okay. Don't do it.
And also, you have to ask There's certain things you should ask people. For example, the first question whenever someone wants to borrow money from me is, have you tried the bank? And if they tell me, obviously they have an excuse. They'll tell me that, no, the bank said no, no, I have another loan. Then I'll tell them, then you need to get your finances in order, because the fact that the bank won't borrow you money means that I shouldn't be borrowing you money.
Yeah, exactly.
So simple as that. Just ask them, have you checked the bank?
And what are you going to do with it?
Yeah, what are you going
to
do with it?
You're allowed to ask if it's your money that you're lending them.
Yeah.
You're allowed to ask them, what are you going to do with that money?
Yes.
And if they say, nope, then you can say, no, I'm not going to give it to you.
But unfortunately, people will always lie.
They will lie.
Nobody will say, hey, I need money to go to that new club. Yeah, I need to buy drinks.
They'll say, oh, my mom's in hospital and I need some help. And they always play on your sympathy.
It's always some sob story.
Don't go with it.
Don't go with it. Just tell them that, okay, sorry about your mom. And now what I do is when someone asks me for money, I ask them, what's the money for? They tell me. And then I tell them, like, for example, it's for a hospital bill. Let's say my mom is in hospital, some damn sob story. Yeah. I'll tell you, okay, cool, send me the bill.
Then suddenly they don't come back.
Yeah, then all of a sudden they keep quiet. They're like, damn it. And wherever they are, they're furious. You know when people don't get money from you, they get so angry.
Yes, because as if you owe them the money.
Yeah. And then you have to ask for it back. Like, hey, can I
Don't you remember? Why you never give me?
Yeah, why you never give me? Huh? Yeah, you see your baby, I put baby in oven.
Why you never give me?
Yeah,
says Azalea.
It's ridiculous.
Oh man.
Oh, my
Sugar
word.
Says maybe I'm a transgender. I'm a professional nurse at work, and they call me Sister Shugela. Oh, Sugar Chabalala. Sister Shugela. That's funny. I just told someone who wanted to borrow money that the economy is bad and people are reluctant to lend.
Yes.
Yeah, but the kind of people who are going to come to you and say I need money are not going to understand the economy.
Certainly.
They don't even understand their own economy.
No.
I always say, like, there are very, very smart people. They might have no education at all, but they're smart with money, right?
Certainly.
Like, there are domestic workers in this country. They don't have a maths education. They know exactly how much they're owed.
Yeah.
They know exactly how long it's going to last them. They budget.
Yeah.
They manage their finances better than most people do.
Certainly.
And then you get people who are hugely educated. They have degrees. But their finances are a disaster.
Yeah.
So it's not true that just because someone has a good job that they can manage their finances.
There are
probably people in corporate South Africa who owe more money proportionally than a poor person does if they only owe 50 rand to their friend.
Yeah.
Telling you, there's some bad finances in this country. Bad personal finances.
It is bad out there. It is so bad. I remember my former boss actually told me that he was like, Mash, I just met with this other former client that we had at that time, at that company. And he was like, yeah, so this guy, like, his company is doing okay, but he is going through it financially. And I told him that the only thing he has to do is just downgrade his lifestyle. He has to downgrade his lifestyle.
And no one wants to hear.
And I was like, no.
No one wants to hear that.
What will they say if I leave, if I was here with a Porsche last week and now this week I come in a Polo?
No one cares about your personal finances. Mm. They don't think that you're better than them because you're driving a better car.
Yes.
They don't think that you're more interesting. They will forget about the fact that you used to drive a Porsche very quickly because they've got their own problems to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say again to Mapelo, because he says, I needed this. It's very hard for me to not help when I can. Mapelo, you are not your brother's keeper. You don't have to look after everybody else.
Mm.
Give yourself a break. That money is money you earned.
Yeah.
And I want people in this country to stop feeling guilty about other people and their problems they've got themselves into.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If someone else has got themselves into trouble, they need to feel the pain. They need to learn from the experience. You can't save everybody. And if you keep saving them, you're actually an enabler. You're making them weaker. You're making them worse. And they'll see you as a sucker because they'll go to you once, you'll give them money, go to you twice, and then eventually they'll start seeing you as the bank. And they'll just go to you and withdraw money all the time until eventually you work for them. That's not how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Then you basically like the government.
Yeah.
And no one wants to be like the government.
Ew.
All right, Mash is with us. It is Wednesday morning. We've jumped around a lot in this first hour, but it's been loads of fun. There's more still to come. Stick around. It's all on the way. It is just after 7 o'clock.